for over 3 years.
Speaking of selling,
there was a lot of empty houses, and you couldn't sell a new house because there was so many houses that had to be bought up first before they'd even look at a new house. And the market really took a dump at that time. And we're going to fall into that again, because what we're getting, and I'll be honest, I ask people, why are you paying over asking price for a house? Well, by me, it would be $1 million. Here, it's only 400,000. They look at price. They don't look at what's in the area.
Yeah, it's a classic New York.
No comparables.
Yeah.
No
comparables. The first time when Moon Valley Falls got built.
The other thing is, and the taxes are half.
Yeah. When Moon Valley Falls got built, the first person that bought was a realtor. I forgot her name now. I went right to her. I said, "How much you pay for your house?" She says, $180,000. I says, "Did you look around the area at all before you bought?" She says, "No, this was a nice house." "Why?" I says, "That house, Betty's house, Betty and
Snyder.
I said, "That house down the street right now has 7 acres. You can live in the house, and it's going for $60,000. And she just looked at me. Just ask him, why are you paying so much? Because she came from out of state.
Is it on the market for $600,000 right now?
Yeah, now it's on the market for $600,000.
I mean, the internet tells them everything. So they see everything in two-county, three-county area. And the hour that it goes on the market, they can get an alert. They can, you know.
2 to 3 days is the average sale now.
Trust me. All summer long, my daughter's been going every weekend. When she's back from the academy, every weekend she's been out looking at houses. If there's anything in her price range that comes on the market, they jump on it as fast as they can. They put full price or higher offers in and haven't been able to touch anything.
I found one house for $150,000. I called my client. Like, I just found one. I said, I don't know what it is, but he says, let's go today. It was all, you know where quarry management is? On that back road out in Lackawaxen.
Masto Plank Road?
Yeah, Masto Plank Road. It's like one lane wide. We're driving up there, and tractor trailers and dump trucks are coming the other way. I'm off on the grass. I'm like, yeah, your daughter ain't living here. We got there. It was 10 people with New York plates crawling all over the house. I said, I wouldn't pay $30,000.
The house that went for $80,000 over the asking price was missing sheetrock in some of the rooms. Sheetrock was not spackled, not painted in some of the other rooms. It still had plenty of work to do, but it still went for $80,000 more than the asking price.
Okay.
Some of the houses we've seen, like, you know, ceiling caving in, floors buckling, you know, like seriously bad shape, turn around and walk right back out again kind of stuff. But, you know, once in a while you just find something that's smaller and, you know.
My neighbor across the street, right before COVID, 3 years he had this house on the market for $275,000. COVID hit, everybody moved up here. He sold it for $370,000.
Mm-hmm. Just the timing.
The big thing.
Let's get back on track.
This is good because the big thing with goal six here and what we all need to consider is, you know, short-term solutions and long-term solutions. You all need to give some thought. I know that there was a lot of pushback about multifamily housing and higher densities, but now that you're not associating your comprehensive plan with Milford Borough, I really highly recommend that you adopt an area, a zoning district, and you can, because you can control it then, and it can be small, that the primary uses are higher densities like townhomes, duplexes. It would solve what Kevin brought up. Is there's people who just don't want yards and don't want to take care of things. There's also an issue with affordability. And you don't want too many folks here in the short term coming in and saying, hey, I want to build a condo here, and you don't have it in your zoning, or we don't even know where to put it. Or it's, you know, a conditional use over here. It's going to bother everybody, but we'll just have the hearings and we'll pull it off. I'd recommend and like to see you have, you know, maybe it's right here by the highway or over towards the borough, but consider an area for condos and townhomes.
No.
Okay.
We're not going to give up our prime economic development land for higher density multifamily.
It doesn't work anyway.
Can help it. No, thank you.
We have a...
We could find some places where it wouldn't be so visible to be an affront to people who live here and want to maintain rural character.
Yeah.
And make them keep the, you know, the frontage going on the main roads wooded for a deeper buffer zone. That might be easier to get through, but...
You know, we got Wheatfield Village over here, 19 townhomes. It doesn't work. Not in the development district.
Well, as soon as you do that, the next thing that you have is usually, we didn't with the expansion at Altec, but I mean at Conopac, but the expansion is on the other side. You immediately get lots of neighbors coming out and screaming every time you have a business being planned in the business district. It's not a great combination unless the point of the retail or the you know commercial aspect of it is to include the overtop housing, or it's built together at the same time. You know, to Kevin's point, if you're having you know a couple of stores and you're having like a little neighborhood built there, then that's different than the development district. The way we have it written is doubling as our quote-unquote industrial district as well. Those two things are not, they're not good bedfellows.
Yeah, so maybe that's how it's solved. But yeah, I think trying to, you know, somehow, you know, spell out an ordinance maybe a little bit to separate those and offer them and tell people how to do it. I think it's better than having people come in and propose wherever they
it's,
want.
It's better to have a place for it than have no place for it.
Yeah, it's a little better.
Is that why you're trying to amend your ordinance?
Well, the separation of the regular business district from the industrial district was one, you know, was something that we talked about. But we also don't have a district that is really designed to be open space either. And that was one of the challenges when we were dealing with properties like the Water Authority's property and the Pinchot property and the county's property. You know, we have spaces that are being claimed for preservation, but they're not, we don't have a zoning mechanism that is strictly for preservation. So those both aspects on both ends, and the ability to what we had talked about at this table before was taking the undesirables and having a district that we can box them in a little bit more than what we have now, which is they all fit everywhere the development district exists, just at all as conditional uses there, which they would still be conditional uses. But if we could separate out some of the more palatable commercial uses from the industrials, we probably could give a better sense of place. If you're doing the commercials, and you live a couple doors down from the restaurant or the small retail or the small office building, that's one thing. But if you're living next door to the industrials, That's a bad combo.
Do you have a maintenance ordinance?
No.
Or anything like that?
No. We don't have a property maintenance ordinance.
Okay. And there'd be no interest in that? Force them to mow their lawn?
I find every town, Lackawaxen, no. Delaware, no.
We've looked into in the past, and like the outcome was we decided no.
And the outcome is, you know, you have liens, you have like
a whole process.
And it's like, doesn't help.
Fern Township has always had more of a libertarian attitude towards like, let's not over-regulate if it's not necessary, number one. And number two, we don't have the high density in the boroughs promotes that concept because everybody has all of that neighbor stuff in their face.
Mm-hmm.
In the township, we're more spread out. If somebody's not mowing their grass, there's probably not 100 people driving by them that unmowed grass yeah. irritated by it.
Furthermore, it's none of their goddamn business.
And there we're back to that libertarian attitude of, you know, like, there's no reason for... And I've had that argument literally with the Water Authority. Don't tell me how high my grass is allowed to be. That's really not up to you. So...
Okay.
Plus, the boards know that our property maintenance program can be extremely high.
Yeah.
Jason, when you have seen these, have you seen them done to the level that you're really only looking at blighted property intervention?
In terms of the maintenance, mm-hmm. only blighted. When I've seen them, they already existed, and my experience has been like, oh hey, here's our zoning ordinance. We have a maintenance. That guy has like a $40,000 lien on his property, and he still won't move all of his lawnmowers and all of his burned out cars, and he is just an oil, you know, entire guy who works out of his garage.
Rachel, what happens, my experience, is that townships aren't going to spend that kind of money to clean up somebody else's property.
I you're know
put
that.
And that's, on it, and then what are you going to collect? Is a mess? I mean,
yeah. And then,
nobody
and, yeah.
wants it. And so, it.
Well, the point is public so safety. That's yes. usually what the point yes. is.
Yeah, but what I did...
And also neighboring property value. If you're dealing with something that's falling down and people
that's
are
a building
not
issue,
it,
though. That'd be
yeah.
demolition by neglect.
Okay.
Which is good because that's you already have that tool.
Do you yeah. have that? And you have an ordinance that says that?
No, it's in the building code.
Yeah, but I got to still go to court, and then the township has to take it down. They have to spend the cost, and I do.
You could make it easier.
I put a lien on the property, then you got to sell it. No township I know wants that kind of headache.
So. No. That's why I said it's in the building code. The building officer can actually go by the building code and say it's demolition.
Yeah, I know out
because it requires a demolition permit.
Yep.
Yeah, but if the homeowner doesn't do it, Bob, we have to do it.
I don't know if we have to do it. It goes to court.
Yeah, and the court's going to tell us if they don't do it, we're going to do it. It can get expensive. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Well,
I've only seen it done once.
You
so.
Put lien on the yeah. property.
I've seen it done, and it's the building was half burnt. So they got insurance money. So then it didn't stand for too long. They said, hey, we got to get this down. It's unsafe.
Well, in that case, though, the fire company has to give us enough money to demolish to bring it down. And they give it, you should be getting it from the town. The insurance company in a fire should give your township money as a fire fund to tear it down if they don't. You should be getting that all the time. We get that. You don't get that? I have two in Lackawaxen, one in Delaware. Yeah, if there's a major fire, my house, okay, and it's $300,000 to build my house, my insurance company will send you, the township, money to be kept by you, that if I don't clean up and take it down, you use that money to do it.
Oh,
that's provided they have insurance.
We did that in Chihuahua.
That's provided they have insurance.
Well, any decent house has insurance. Anybody with a mortgage has to have insurance.
And provided it's not arson.
Well, arson by the owner.
I know three people that
well,
I know
stuck in,
three people that paid off their house
limbo.
And their insurance company dropped the insurance because the house was paid off. John Malzahn's one of them.
The insurance company dropped
the insurance down to the minimum as soon as the mortgage was paid. He had a fire, lost his home. Had to pay and had to rebuild that out of his life savings.
You got to have replacement value.
Yeah.
Is what you're looking
for. No, they dropped it. They dropped it.
Must have had a tag to the mortgage amount. Like
it may
some
have,
people's life insurance. They buy life insurance like that.
It,
it's tied to
it. May have it may have been, but I know three people that have that story. Like the.
Is it all the same insurance company?
That I don't know.
No, yeah, I got to make a phone call tomorrow. Now you got me all worried.
Yeah.
Why? Did we pay you so much you paid off your house?
Yeah.
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 No, you're right. If it's paid by the insurance, by the mortgage, they would reduce it because they don't want to pay. But You should have replaced.
They've done everything they can to get rid of.
But here's the deal. They call up and say, "Hey, we're talking the average Joe here. Call up and say, "Hey, you paid your house off. Do you want to lower your insurance?" And you say, "Yeah, of course I want to lower my insurance."
Pennywise and pound foolish.
They don't do the research. You know.
No, I get it, but.
I paid off the one house and I got replacement value.
Well, here in Pennsylvania, we're lucky we can still continue to get insurance, unlike some states where the insurance companies are pulling out of the market. You can't get any insurance.
Yeah.
At all?
Yeah, I just
went through that with business insurance. So from our perspective, what are we worrying about what insurance they have? Is there some money? Yep.
No,
just about maintenance program. Thank you for getting us back on
track. Yep, create a plan to provide 24/7 emergency service, ambulance, police, and fire within the township to alleviate perceived existing and future assistance problems due to the community's aging population and rural layout. 7.1 would, as an action then, would be review the current ambulance, fire, and police schedules and costs, as well as specific public need beyond the survey conducted in this comprehensive plan and current tax revenues.
Old people are talking about you again.
Oh, man.
7.2 is develop a plan, multi-municipal or otherwise, that allows adequate independent services to be provided at an acceptable cost to the township, noting responsibilities, as some may be accepted or provided by the county or others. This plan may include the creation of a regional police force, a paid fire department, and or development of a regional hospital.
I have a problem with that entire last sentence.
Yeah, same page.
Okay. What would you like it to say?
Well, I know for a fact that regional police forces don't work. They all become overburdensome. They're having problems with the one that we have here now.
Yeah, we were approached about that.
They've been trying to get in there.
Well, they should have taken our offer right from the beginning. Mr. Quick offered them the building. And we would be part of the force, but that was it.
I'm just glad they're not here.
Huh?
I'm glad they're not here.
So yeah, you don't want a regional police force?
No.
Do you want a local police force or anything?
That would be up to us at the time.
I don't think, I think having that in.
I don't think there's a demand.
I have to agree.
At the end of the 10-year period, perhaps things will be different, but I don't see that today, not at the trajectory.
I don't see that. I don't see it in 10 years, but I mean, you know, things can change. I mean, I don't see us going down a path that leads us to that.
Unless the state actually finally passes the rules that they've been talking about and starts charging us up the wazoo for state police coverage, I don't see it happening.
The police force, I don't think is going to happen. Paid fire department is one thing that is going to evolve because of where the commissioners are changing the legislature now, which we're going to have no control over. So I don't think that.
And paid ambulance is already on the horizon. So.
And a regional hospital here is not economically feasible. They've proved that. So I think the whole sentence should just be.
So we don't want to put a paid fire department or a paid ambulance service or anything like that. I'm battling with a survey that said overwhelmingly that people want you guys to support and put more money towards emergency services specifically.
The supervisors are actively doing that.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, it would be support in a joint venture.
Okay.
Well, I think Jason, we all know that the likelihood is that paid fire is going to fall behind paid ambulance, but we don't want to hurry it up.
Agreed.
To the extent that we can hold it off, we'd like to continue to try to hold it off.
It sounds like it's not your responsibility anyway.
Maybe, yeah.
The statute requires it to be our
responsibility, and the supervisors are participating to the maximum plus what they can do. My point is right now, statewide, the Pennsylvania State Association of Commissioners are lobbying and are making real traction on handling this type of a situation through authorities.
Okay.
So it's going to be shoved down our throat. We're going to have a separate taxing entity anyway. You know, they call it an authority. They don't call it a taxing entity, but I don't know how you can't say that it is.
Sounds nicer.
Bob and Sherry, and I know I said this before, Bob and Sherry Emery left Maryland a few years ago for retirement, but when they left, every ratable was paying $500 for emergency services. Every ratable.
Was it going towards all three, Kevin, or just towards fire and ambulance?
Fire and ambulance, I believe. But, you know, $500 per ratable is that's almost what you receive in tax revenue for the township.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. A lot of money to do that, but that's...
Yeah, so I can remove that whole sentence, actually, mm-hmm. and that becomes a pretty good goal.
Sounds better now.
Yeah, it does. 7.3, assist in the implementation of these new services to ensure they adequately meet public need, protect the health, safety, and welfare of the community. So that's basically a sentence saying...
Assist.
That you guys are, you know...
We're on point.
Yeah. Goal 8, consider the township's millage, impact fees, permit fees, and the county's next tax assessment to ensure all municipal costs are covered annually over the next 10 years, including covering some of the potential added costs of other goals. So throughout the plan, we do mention, and it was mentioned in the last plan, as population grows, as you have more amenities, more development, the cost to run the municipality grows. Right now, you're in good financial shape. But, you know, goal 8 would be if you start heading in that wrong path and not meeting costs.
I still can't wrap my head around this impact fees. Define impact fees.
Yeah, we got a...
Impact fees is from when you develop, how your development's going to impact on the community.
And
you
utilities.
Charge them an impact fee, but it has to be passed by the supervisors and an ordinance.
And is that
there's not one township I know that does it right now.
But that's not an ongoing fee. That's a one-time finder's fee.
Right. Yeah. It's a one-time fee at the time that they
develop.
Do the initial requirement. It's like, hey, we know your development is going to cost us services down the line, probably at a greater cost than what you're contributing in tax revenue. So we're going to hit you with an impact fee also.
Okay, so how do you arrive at an amount?
Through an ordinance you create and how you calculate it. I mean, I'll give you, there's nobody on, right?
It's just is there nobody on Zoom?
No.
But the recording is still on.
It is.
And does get posted on the website.
So there's ways that people will say you have an impact on your project, and the townships can ask for certain things to address the impact.
Well, you like a higher volume of heavy trucks or something like that on the township roads is going to cause deterioration down the road.
Yeah, and
those types of examples.
But there's not and one then,
and then it's almost like a
ordinance right now.
It's almost like
right,
a
but how do you,
not here.
How do you
it's almost like a
bond. There are other places in the state.
That's right. No.
Yeah, so the state actually has studies that you have to conduct, and it basically shoehorns the cost of each item.
Yeah, you develop a matrix.
You can't just say, oh, it's $1 million, ta-da. You have to have a matrix.
Yeah.
Has to be followed through in a certain protocols by the state, conducted by certain professionals, and you present it and come to
it. So then what good is it?
It's a lot of work.
But, it's a one-time shot.
But it's a one-time shot, and it's not like you're making money. You have to directly show
that
you're...
Don't you have to escrow that, too?
You're covering road degradation...
So to buy a fire truck or
very specific things.
Okay.
Right.
What's that?
Yeah. Tom?
I said it actually ends up, you have to use the money for the impact it's going to have. That's
what I mean. So
his example of the fire truck would be one.
So then
so you don't necessarily have to escrow it if it's a short-term impact.
That was just the word that came to my head, you have to show, when you spend that, that money gets given, and when you spend that money, you have to show that it was for that impact. You can't just say, we're going to go buy a new plow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because we have to plow your road. You have to show that it was,
that burden was satisfying.
Yeah, you have to show that it's satisfying the burden.
Yeah, from what I've seen, because I've never actually done it, but it looks like a tremendous amount of work at a tremendous cost to generate some money that may or may not cover.
You know, larger counties down the south, southeast, are probably worth it.
Yeah.
We don't have that many big projects that's going to be worth it to us.
No, but we do want to reference it, so we want to do something later on.
Well, it sounds to me like the only thing you're purchasing is an expendable anyway.
Yeah.
A road, fire truck.
The good news here is that, you know, if you were going to do it, the project would be smaller scale and likely more simple, and it's going to affect things like one road, right? Or it's going to just be first to cover the sewer expansion and what you have to put up with while that's expanded or something like that. It wouldn't be, you know, five or six different utilities and a whole, you know, big complicated mess. You know, unless, you know, you do get 1,000 or 2,500 unit development come in here and say, hey, we want all new sewer, we want all new roads, extend it all for us, you know, we're going to do it. Goal 9 is organized transportation to fulfill multimodal connection opportunities between the township, adjacent municipalities, and the region. This includes public spaces such as the Delaware River, recreational sites, and bike and trail paths. So I did a transportation plan. I'll share that at the end. Very, very simple. But this just opens you up to consider more than the monies and grant monies from PennDOT and those generated from the automobile. Multimodal is really just one of those buzzwords now that they use across the state, and, you know, suggesting that you would connect to a paddle trail like a river or a creek, recreational sites, it opens you up to quite a bit of potential grant applications and monies. That's why this is in here. And you can read about the outcomes too. Pennsylvania has a comprehensive plan, a statewide comprehensive plan for recreation, and they're investing quite a bit of money in that. Actually, I'll bring that up. Do you mind bringing it up on?
Sure.
Well, one thing that may fit into this is something that Rachel had brought up a while ago that relates to solar energy, but it relates to transportation as well. And what they're doing in Europe is having covered carports in parking areas that are solar panels, which makes absolute sense. They've already ruined the ground, so why not have it be a solar farm?
They have a lot of that.
Well, no, they're doing that on canopies now, like over gas stations and stuff like that.
Go down to Sussex County Community College, the whole parking lot.
Yep. The elementary school in Newton.
That is
also.
That is the roof of where they park their cars.
Yeah. The
Wawa. They don't park on them.
No, the roof.
Right.
Where they park
their
cars.
It's canopies over the parking area in the upper parking lot.
Have
they done that down there?
Mm-hmm. Sussex Community College in Newton.
The Wawa in Bushkill.
Well, it makes it
solar panels.
I didn't notice that.
If you go North Hampton Community College right down here.
Yes.
They have these huge solar.
My personal opinion is you see these solar farms, they're atrocious. They're a huge waste of good land.
There's another huge one. You know where the Perkins is in Bushkill?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that if you look in that complex, that entire roof was just covered in solar.
They're pushing solar.
There you go.
Shouldn't shouldn't there be something in our ordinance or something in here that says that if they're going to do that, this is the way it should be done?
That's why we sent solar down to you guys to take a look at. And they are doing, PSATS is doing a roving solar farm education program. It's not for, it's not against, but it's talking about impacts, things to know. It's education program for, you know, for...
Well, and you're going to get these charging stations, and personally, if they're going to say that they need to do them, then they should have a solar component to it, and that's the perfect place to put them.
Yeah, we already have a charging station. Well, we don't in Milford Township, but there's a Tesla charging station in Westfall.
Blooming Grove has got an application to do one. It was on the front page of the paper.
Yeah, I think they've got 12 or 15 units.
Where are they going to put it?
In the gas station.
Did you get my Tesla calendar?
In Gregory's gas station parking lot.
And all the cars on fire.
The funny thing about all of this is you know how well Wilbur is versed in anything that has to do with your pocketbook. And he says, if you have a solar car and you don't charge it yourself at your place, he said there's no advantage to it.
Right.
You mean electric?
Sure, that works, but unless, if you have only one car and you need to go somewhere longer distance, you need to be able to charge it along the way, or you're going to be stuck on the side of the road.
And you have to wait 45 minutes.
Then I'll wave to you when I go by in my gas vehicle.
45 minutes to 3 hours.
And lots of hotels.
45 minutes to 3 hours.
There's an episode of Black Mirror that goes like that.
Huh?
There's an episode of the Netflix show Black Mirror where the show...
And then if it's too cold outside, they don't charge, or it's too hot outside, they don't charge. Or...
Yeah, the charge doesn't hold as much in the cold weather.
Well, right now, the reason Blooming Grove was remarking about it was because of the struggle in the fire departments dealing with battery issues, battery fires, particularly with these vehicles, if they're in crashes or, you know, or the battery overheats.
6 hours to put it out.
They have major issues.
I had a picture of a storage facility for electric vehicles. One caught on fire, and it just going from one to the next to the next, and it was videoed. And it just kept growing, and they were stacked four high. So this whole thing went on fire. I sent it to people, and the next thing I knew, it was gone. They took it off Facebook.
But solar, trying to keep us on track.
No, this is good. Yeah. Solar panels and storing green energy, too, you have to have big banks of batteries as well. And it becomes a pretty big... pretty big issue, because that could just burn and they have to let it burn out. So do we want to add some goals, particularly about charging stations and solar panels? Is that something you guys...
We definitely need to have coverage for those items in our ordinances. Those are definitely, that's definitely got to be an action item somewhere. And the solar aspect was something we already sent down for the Planning Commission to do. It just hasn't been the highest priority yet.
Sure. Okay.
This is the transportation plan that we just put together. There's various action items, but really we are just recommending somehow getting a township or municipal river access. You have quite a bit of space, the water gap, everybody seems to have their own launch points and stuff, but the township doesn't. Then we also took a look at, and we talked about last time, providing some kind of walkway all the way down. That'd be from where it ends here at Dollar General, all the way down to the borough, hopefully to connect municipalities. And then on Old Milford Road, possibly, you know, having some kind of bike lane or sharrows, and just kind of promote use of that as like a walk or kind of a greenway to be able to ride your bike down. Just some different modes of transportation there.
Old Milford Road's got an arrow, and the people fly down that road trying to get around the traffic. So I mean,
I honestly think if you're going to put a bike, well, you're better off putting it on 209.
You're better off putting it on 209.
209, because there's shoulders.
We're good with 209 then?
That's my opinion.
I just want to make
sure. Well, I'd rather see a bike lane on 209, because otherwise...
This is very conceptual. Route 6 is already a PA bike route, so that's great. But if we include this in the plan, it's just conceptually, you get to consider it again.
Route 6 is a PA bike route already.
Yeah.
So that'd just be a continuation, because it's 6 and 209.
Yeah, exactly.
So I personally, I think that makes more sense.
All right.
I mean, I'm not speaking for the board, but.
Nah, we put it on Old Milford Road, we're going to have deaths.
It depends on how it's done, Bob. I mean, look at the walking trail.
It's not wide enough.
All they would do is spray paint arrows on the road.
On the road.
Yeah, but the people fly down here like 50, 55 miles an hour.
The thing is,
it would have to be something that was constructed off the road, so you may have a pretty fence that separates the road from that. And
I don't think you can do that back there, because I think that's the people's properties.
Right.
Yeah, you'd be on. Yeah, I don't think.
Well, this side would be mostly Santos, right?
From Dollar General?
Until.
Yeah.
Until
whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it is right now.
Yeah. Okay.
There's talk of future development at the Santos property.
Well, personally, I think, if you're really looking at recreation, which I think was kind of the point,
mm-hmm.
your people who are interested in coming here and want to do walks or want to do bike riding, they don't want to be down 209. And between Econopacks, tractor trailers, and the level of traffic we have there, probably wouldn't be the place. The fact of the matter that people are speeding on the back road, anything you can do that stops the speeding would be the higher priority item.
Look at this.
I'm not saying we should take people's property and build bike lanes on it. I'm not saying that.
Okay. Go to all the cities. Look at where the bike routes are. They're right on the main roads.
Because that's what they had to work with.
I understand, but that's what people would be used to anyway. I mean, in my opinion, if you go down Stroud, there's a bike path, there's a bike route down, there's a bike lane down near Stroudsburg somewhere. I was just driving. I'm pretty sure there's one in Wilkes-Barre. They're all on. They're where the attractions are. It's a bike path to get to places. It's not a bike path to recreate.
Well, that brings
that's,
a good point.
That's what I'm saying.
Is Gray Towers connected at all?
That's where
I'm
going.
On your plan for a bike path. I don't see if the yellow plan is the bike route, you have nothing to Gray Towers.
No, just to get down to try to connect this portion, the 209-6 corridor down into.
And that would be the one place we might actually be able to make it work is getting over to Gray Towers.
Okay. All right.
And that I know was something the borough was looking to do, some kind of a walking path that connected to Gray Towers as well. So
I believe that's on their on their map.
But they won't build a sidewalk from 9th Street up. So.
Well, we'll see what they, you know, perhaps that's because there's been no, perhaps that's because of the current environment of cooperation.
But that's their property to the wall.
Then it would be to nowhere. But it's a cooperation thing, I have no doubt.
We did put a couple crosswalks along 6 and 209 to kind of connect to the upper side of the township down across. And this is where a lot of your commercial businesses are in the township building and things. So we have one at the end of Old Milford Road, coming down from Pocono Drive, Old Milford Road on Pocono Drive, and then on Wheatfield Drive. So they're just evenly spaced. Would there be any interest in that, or would you rather have me take it off or adjust it?
To go across 209?
Yeah.
Well, that's not on 209. That's not definitely on Old Milford Road.
No, that's not what he's talking about.
Right here.
Yeah, but his yellow line that goes across the back.
Yeah, that's Old Milford Road. So I'm talking crosswalks here, here, and here.
They're state roads. Are the state going to agree
to
that?
Yeah, it's just state roads. Roads. That's not a township.
You're saying
road.
Yes, they'd agree to that?
Yeah.
The state would?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys had felt a need in your township to say, hey, you know, we want a better connect.
Boy, I don't know if I'd be have the guts to walk across 6 and 09 with
right?
some of the drivers.
Yeah, but it's not a bad idea because yeah, right now we got
Econopack
constantly walking across.
I don't know if I would. Yeah, I could see. I mean, I'm just...
All right. Well, it's something
you're
to consider.
About danger and stuff.
Yeah. The state would definitely likely say you need those blinking lights with the signs. People walk in. And
well, pedestrians do have the right of way in a crosswalk. There's no motion.